49 minutes past the hour. This is Daybreak Asia, the Thanksgiving Day edition U.S., and we're particularly pleased that Greg Swenson could join us. He is founding partner at Bridge McAdam. They are based in Chicago, and Greg joins us from the Windy City. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. Hope you're doing well.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. Give me a sense of where you are now as we approach the end of the year. We know that the Fed is intent on tightening more. Inflation is clearly a problem. Many people are favoring the bond market these days versus equities. What's your strategy as we wrap up 2022?
Yeah, I think the strategy is to be patient and wait, because we don't know if the worst is over yet. I think that this jump the gun philosophy of looking at the Fed and reducing their, you know, their aggressive stance, you know, bringing down the increases from 75 basis points to 50. Yes, that's a good sign. Maybe, you know, they're going to dial it back a bit. But I think there could be a lot of inflation ahead, and we have some growth challenges as well. So my philosophy is, you know, be patient, wait. Our firm is advocating the wait for, keep the dry powder. Let's wait for the liquid markets to sell off a bit more, because I think they will. They're still overvalued in many respects. And then you know, look at traditional inflation protected investments that can have a non-correlated return to the liquid markets, and then let's be patient, and maybe next year at this time we'll be talking about a bull market again.
Greg, I mean, they're saying 60-40 is something consigned now to at least the time being into the dustbin. But is it really? I mean, I'm going to change the 16 to the bond holdings that you should have in 14 equities. Would that work out for you?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, look what happened with the bond market in the last year. You know, a 200 basis point move in interest rates can you know, crush your bond, your long bond portfolio 25%. I mean, there is risk that people don't typically associate with fixed income portfolios. And I think that the old 60-40 mix is probably a bit dated, and I hope that, you know, especially investors who can look at alternative investments, real assets, infrastructure, anything that's correlated to food prices, energy prices, and critical infrastructure. I think that's the long-term, you know, inflation plus returns that people should think about, rather than the traditional, you know, 60-40 mix. It's fixed income looks great when it's double digits, but it doesn't look so great even with the 10-year, you know, at 3.75% or pushing 4%. Even at that level, that's still below historical norms. I'd be really careful about fixed income right now.
So, Greg, since Brig McAdam is an investment bank, I'd like to get your take on deal flow for the year ahead. I mean, are you expecting a contraction, whether it's new companies coming to market, whether it's M&A type of transactions? I mean, is it basically going to be a rough year in 2023 for deals?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt there's going to be challenges in the IPO market. I don't think that venture capital valuations are hanging in there as much as, you know, we've enjoyed in the last decade. So I think it will be a tough year for big corporate M&A. I think it'll be a tough year for the IPO market, no doubt. The liquid markets, without the Fed put, without $120 billion of securities being purchased by the Fed every month, there's going to be some challenges. But I do think that brings a lot of opportunity in real assets, and whether it's in, you know, the North America with traditional real assets like timber, like energy, you know, agriculture. You know, there's a big bid for ag assets right now. But if you look at the market globally, the world needs energy. It needs natural gas. It needs infrastructure associated with natural gas, and it needs food. And so those are the things that we're focusing on. We think they make sense in the long term, but they definitely make sense in the short term, because there's a real, you know, there's an energy crisis and an emerging food crisis. So we really believe in food security and energy security, and it's a great way to make money but also do some good.
Yeah, it's all very well there to do that. I'm just looking, you know, at what you do next year, though, and how not many people have really been talking about the effects of quantitative tightening. What's your take on this? And, you know, where do we go with this, Greg, in terms of liquidity, at least?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's still some more pain ahead in the liquid markets. If you look at, you know, the so-called Buffett rule, you know, for generations, U.S. equities were at, you know, some metric like 1.5 times GDP. But, you know, in November of 21, that was up to 2.5 times GDP. It still has some more room to come down. And I think that's what people are forgetting or at least ignoring, because naturally, those of us in the market and financial media, we're optimists, right? We want to think things will be great. But it is still overvalued by most metrics, and we don't have the Fed put. We don't have, you know, $120 billion being purchased. I guess the one thing that we still do have is the natural tendency for 401ks and retirement plan investment schemes to buy the indices every month when, you know, paychecks are paid. So, you know, there are some technicals that will favor, you know, the U.S. liquid markets, but we got used to the Fed buying a lot of securities and keeping rates artificially low, and that it is not going to continue. It just can't with the inflation challenges that we have.
Do you think it's possible that we see some tweak to the unwind of the balance sheet, then, given all the stress that you're laying out?
Possibly, and you're seeing pressure from that, you know, pressure to do that, and you know, especially from the left, where, you know, there's a bit of nerve that they're a bit unsettled about, you know, the idea of recession. But let's face it, it's the only tools that we have now to fight inflation is monetary policy, because the fiscal policy is basically not going to do it. It's still inflationary by nature. The supply side is not going to be liberated, at least not in the next 2 years. So I think looking at a problem where it's the Fed and only the Fed that can stop the inflation.
Well, let me push back a little bit in terms of fiscal policy. If you raise taxes, is that a way of dealing with inflation?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you think that by raising taxes you will curb economic growth and also take more money out of people's pockets, so they'll have less money to spend, and that by nature is going to reduce inflation. Yes, it's a shame that economic destruction is the only alternative right now, but if you liberate the supply side, that's what I'm arguing is by reducing taxes, you're liberating the supply side. So you're encouraging investment and producing more goods. And I think unfortunately the Fed, their only option is to address the demand side. But I think with fiscal policy, if you liberate the supply side, produce more goods. And that's, you know, again, if you look at 40 years ago, you know, Volcker had to, you know, raise rates to, you know, 19-20%. It was painful. It was really painful on the economy and on people.
But he got it done. He got it done. Greg, thank you so much for being with us. Greg Swenson from McAdam, or Brig McAdam, I should say.